You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, it's going to be a choose-your-own-adventure here with Patrick Royce. We've got Twins in baseball opening day. We've got Rudy Gobert absolutely lighting the refs on fire with his words after a loss in Phoenix. And we have the Minnesota Wild play, or at least, I don't know, I'm planning a parade. I don't know about Judd and Declan at this point. But where do you want to start today, Pat?
I declared yesterday on Twitter that if they win the game last night in Colorado, This is a super team, and it will be headed to the Stanley Cup Finals, but I think it will take six games for them to defeat Boston. I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
Uh-oh. Get the flag, Judge.
Hold on. Nobody told me. Nobody told me about the flag. There you go.
Get the flag.
There you go. State of hockey. This is old school. This is 2000. Look at this one. 2003.
Honest to God, if there's ever a game you thought they were going to lose, it's Colorado's been playing great. They're all fired up. They want to win the division. And it makes a difference winning the division, because they get to play a pretty mediocre team in the first round when they win the division. So,
especially in this conference, yeah.
They're 1 point from the top seed, Patrick. They're a point behind the Golden Knights.
What are they since the overrated Russian since they lost him? What's their record? How many games they play without him? 12? About 10 or 12?
I think. They're 16-1-4 in their past 21, and the loss was to Boston. They've lost one regulation.
Only one regulation. Now, I call that 16-5, but that's not the way the NHL calls it. So 16-5 is no good. But yeah, it's amazing.
I think every sport should have a third category of their choosing, right? If you want to.
Yes, right. In the case of the NFL, of the NBA, it would be RS. Ref screwed us. Would be the that would be the category on the back. We'll get to that in a minute. But this team, it's an incredible run. When did they had that 5-game stretch, right, without a win, right before it was it right before the All Star game, or when was that?
Coming out of the All Star game, they played really bad.
Yeah, you were wondering. You thought they'd be fighting to make the playoffs the rest of the season, and now here they are. It's it is a. Regular season-wise, the biggest upset in Wild history, I'd say. Not the, they still have to equal 2003 because of the playoff run. And that team had a pretty good year regular season, too. But this is phenomenal. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. They're not unbeatable at home. But there's only one team in the conference with more home victories than the Wild, and that's the Los Angeles Kings. So good luck at the X if you have to play 4 games in a 7-game series.
Yeah, and they just had a really long streak at home too, right? Before Boston beat them, they had lost at home in the regulation in 20 games or something. So it's I don't understand it, but what the heck?
Pack the suitcase, Mr. Hockey. Long run, long, just like 2003.
I don't think we have the budget to cover it like we did in 2003 when we were on the road for the 4 in Vancouver, 4 in Colorado, and then 2 in Anaheim, 10 games in basically 40 days. 40 days of hockey for me that year, and that was fun because you had Jock. Now I'd have to get to know Dean a little to see if there's anything beyond that stern gray look, is there any humor there? Is there anything to write about with Dean?
I think you could get something. Yeah, okay. I think you could get you know, some type of, because I mean, he's got a ton of stories. And and here's the thing that you would love too. He's not going to tell you his goalie because he's got two goalies. So you'd be back.
The Twins put their entire opening day lineup out like a day in advance. And Dean Evason's got like, you know, he's got his goalies like hiding under, you know, blankets or something.
Gustafson. So we didn't know Gustafson was going to play before the game started, or when did they reveal that yesterday?
I think when they came out for pregame warmups, because I checked after the morning skate and there was no tweets about the goaltender.
So they had his name taped across the back of the jersey till the third period. No one knew until the game was over who was playing.
So if you're a hockey aficionado, though, you can tell at the morning skate who's going to play generally, right?
Yes.
The goalie that stays around is not going to play, right?
Yes.
But not if they
you know, deceive you.
If you they don't want to deceive you, then they both leave at the same time and they don't give you any hint. So anyway, who cares? This is great for the Flower, though, that he's got a guy that they, you know, yesterday basically they told you Gustafson's their number one goalie, didn't they? When they played him in this big game. Weren't they telling you he's your number one goalie?
You know, Pat.
Or is it just the rotation?
Yeah.
That's what they'll say. That's just our rotation, Pat. They played Fleury last game.
Okay. All right. Whatever they'll say. But it's amazing. It's an amazing run.
And you know what? What's kind of crazy is we've been conditioned now, rightfully so, for over 30 years since the Twins won the World Series in 1991 to just expect that. It's going to end in a fiery car crash, whether it's all these teams, right? Second round or NFC championship game. But at some point, whether it's this year's Wild team or a Vikings team in 2 years, at some point, a team will win a championship again in Minnesota.
And I'm 77 years old. The point's got to come up here sooner than later. You know, we can't be talking like sometime in the next 8 years. We can't be talking that. We got to be talking.
What's your range of confidence right now, Pat?
With the Wild?
No, with you.
I am 100% confident they're going to get through the first round. Okay. I am for the first time in 6 years. And they will have to play a good team in the second round. But I think they'll beat that. There's something different about this. These other teams kind of went in there and you were hopeful, but you had the impression if something bad goes wrong, you know, with those teams, they didn't have it behind the left nipple, as Norbrad Brocklin used to say. You know, they didn't have heart. Didn't have it behind the left nipple. But I think this team does. I think to come back like they did this year, and then a month ago, 6 weeks ago, and then to lose a guy that we thought was their whole offense, and keep rolling and scoring more goals than ever. This is a different team, and all the Swedes they brought in have helped. All the this is one team that doesn't have too many Swedes, and we got one more Swede coming here pretty soon, right? Nyquist.
That's right.
These guys are tough. Tough Swedes, though, Pat. You know, it's not the Swedes
not the
of
old
the 70s.
Not yeah, those guys
are Swedes of the 70s.
Swedes of the 70s were soft.
Swedes of the 70s, a great Netflix documentary, actually.
80s. 80s. That's what it was in Calgary where I got the great quote from Al Morganti. You know what's wrong with this Swedish team? They have too many Swedes. when the Russians were beating them 9-2 up in Calgary at the Olympics. So, yeah, that was an alarming win last night and decisive. It had to come as a shock to Colorado now. And, you know, they need Makar fully healthy. It is amazing how important he is to them, isn't it?
Oh, he's great. But here's what I saw last night, Pat, that I really liked. They frustrated McKinnon some. It was sort of like Walls against Forsberg. That if you can frustrate McKinnon, that makes a huge difference.
Okay. Well, anyway, great win for them. Meanwhile, Phil Mackey, among others, is very upset about the officiating last night in Phoenix.
Let me explain. I am not because last week I told these guys, because they were bitching about officials, the Wolves last week too. I said I am not a complain about officials guy. I'm a go figure it out and everything evens out guy. But there's been a couple games. And by the way, the Wolves lead the NBA in technical fouls, flagrant fouls, and ejections. So there's a little look in the mirror here for the Wolves. But there's been a couple games, the Boston game and then last night, where, I mean, you can't set a screen without getting called for an offensive foul. It's just bizarre.
Well, yeah, to call two on Gobert there down the stretch. He must have been whining during the game, so they decided to put the screws to him. The officials were, I looked them up, Rodney Mott. We've had trouble with Rodney before, right? Rodney Mott. And then Eric Lewis. Wasn't it just a couple weeks ago they had a run-in with him at Target Center, if I'm not mistaken? And then a young lady named Lauren Holcamp. I don't know if she didn't make any of the big calls. So
she had a couple bad ones. She did,
but,
yes.
But the trouble with Rudy is when you look him up, when you Google Rudy complains about officials to see what he was saying, there's a long, you got a laundry list to complain about. Because they used to put the screws to Utah because it was a small market. And I think his post-game quotes to Chris Hine last night, who was out there, they didn't make the newsprint edition, but it's online, he should have included Sacramento in there as a team that's getting all the calls because they want the big market teams in there. That would have been don't throw the fact that you didn't get the calls at Sacramento in there. Now, here's the problem. He's going to get fined. Finch is going to get fined. Not as much because it was kind of a gentle rip that he gave the officials, Finch. But now you got the Lakers coming to town on Friday in a very key game. So, it's a brotherhood and a sisterhood now. The officials, are they going to come in and give LeBron every call, on Friday night? So once you rip them, Rudy, in fact, his quotes were so frontal, I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a suspension.
Boy, yeah, I mean, I have the quotes in front of me here. He was, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there were some expletives, but he also just flat out insinuated that the league and the refs are trying to rig it against the Timberwolves.
Yes.
To get, like you said, but you can't include the Kings in your argument. The No. Kings, by the way, who clinched their first playoff berth since 2006 last night.
Yes. So apparently they wanted to finally get the big market Kings, and that was a mistake. I think Rudy gets going. And he sometimes doesn't think out all his words, but it is a coincidence that Monty Williams just got fined. And all he said about the officials was, after the game, he came into his press conference and said, 46-20. That's all I got to say, which was the free throws in the Lakers game. And then Finch's quote last night was, apparently it works to complain about the officials. Yes. As Monte got the calls. There are no, well, I'd say NFL officials are more powerful than NBA officials. But they don't work with teams as often, and they aren't as likely to carry grudges as NBA officials are. Mm-hmm. And, whoever works the game Friday night, you just wonder if they show up and say, yeah, we'll show these guys. Maybe they won't shoot off their mouths after the next game. So
yeah, and I'll give credit to the Suns too, because so Chris Paul and Devin Booker, if there's a Mount Rushmore of guys who make it look like they've been hit by a sniper rifle while driving into the lane, those guys have mastered the art of, just if you breathe on me, I'm gonna make my layup and then fall into the stanchion. And it works.
Booker's good, though. Oof, he's good. He's terrific. But, yeah, it was a, they didn't shoot it that well. Anthony had a good game, but I didn't think they were nearly as good defensively. And Torian Prince wasn't playing. That hurt. He was sick, apparently.
And so, half the team is apparently dealing with, like, Conley, Kyle Anderson, and Anthony Edwards are also dealing with. Mm-hmm. I think it's what I've had the last 6 days. It's going around. The thing that Judd gave,
I didn't skip work
last Friday.
Mm-hmm. I didn't skip work for this. I just
neither have I. It's great.
You know what? It's amazing to me. Remember when I think Phil, when you and I first started together, I'd still get the thing in April or May, and then in October, where I couldn't talk for like 10 days. I came in and talked. Nobody could stand to listen to it, but I kept working. I remember not being down in spring training one year. I should have been in the hospital. I was doing the show, and boy, were they awful. But anyway, but you know, it should be fun Friday night, and I hope we don't have too much focus on the officials and play a ball game. So, because that place will be jumping Friday night, because the Lakers are desperate, and the Wolves, you know, they don't want to end up being in the 9-10 game and having to win twice. So they have a, after they get done with the Lakers, it's fairly easy, right? New Orleans here, you got to beat New Orleans here, and then you end up with a couple of road games that aren't that tough, right?
So after the Lakers, it's Portland who has shut down Damian Lillard. It's Brooklyn on the road. They're feisty. San Antonio just doesn't have players. Yeah. And then that game against New Orleans, the second part of a back-to-back, that will likely matter for both teams. But the Wolves have lost to some of the worst teams in the league. I wouldn't just chalk up that Portland game and that San Antonio game as victories quite yet.
I think Anthony is hurt, though, too, right? Simon's their other great guard, the really good player. I was watching a couple of weeks ago, and he did something to his knee that didn't look good. So anyway, we'll all be mad at the officials Friday night, but that crowd will be jammed.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Kansas City, where I think I read that it's going to be 65 or something.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, let's go. Let's go.
At least it's warm somewhere. Get
6 inches of snow tomorrow here.
Is that how much we're going to get? It's supposed to start at 4 o'clock.
They said a floor of 2 inches and upwards of maybe 6 inches.
And you know what? It's going to be that heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. Not going to be at this time of year.
I'm done shoveling.
It's the 30 degrees. Yeah, it'll melt.
Not shoveling it.
But as we look forward to this outdoor baseball opener next Thursday, I looked at the forecast. 4 of the next 7 days are supposed to be like rain, snow, snizzle, sleet, you know, 4 of the 7 days. And then on Wednesday night, Thursday next week, low of 15, but we're going to zoom all the way up to 38 by the middle of the afternoon for that opener. So get your tickets right now while there's still a chance.
It's 38, but it looks like it's 62.
And they can't really postpone it and play it on Friday because it's supposed to snow Friday. So that's the 10-day forecast. It could go belly up.
But, hey, U.S. Bank Stadium has the Gophers all set up. They've been playing ball inside U.S. Bank Stadium. Let's just let's put the Twins and the Astros
inside U.S.
Bank Stadium.
Yeah, it's the most god-awful baseball. Have you ever watched a ball game in there?
I went to the Cambria Classic.
They just build this fence out in the middle of nowhere, and it's just awful.
There's just a yellow line across right field that if the ball hits above it, it's a home run. If it hits below it, it's not. Just you'll figure it out.
It's the People's Stadium, you guys. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the People's Stadium. The Vikings were not excited about having baseball played in there, but they ended up having to. But anyway, I see Joey Gallo is not leading off today. Dang it. Max Kepler's back in the leadoff spot. I just don't see much hope for this lineup right now, the way it's constructed right now. I don't, you know.
Well, it's very dependent on health, right?
Yes. I mean, you don't have Polanco. You don't have Polanco, and you don't have Kirilloff, and you traded a Rice. That's a big part of the lineup. I said today, January 1st, this was your lineup. Look at what your lineup is now. Without those guys. So I don't know. The pitching is, you know, you got veterans that are not going to knock the bat out of anybody's hand, but they're, you know, you'd rather have this than, you know, what you were running out there last year. So as Phil pointed out, they did prepare a little more this year for their rotation than they did last year. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But, yep. And the bullpen should be. I think the bullpen should be good, don't you?
It's at the very least, it's the hardest throwing bullpen we've ever seen. So,
and I hope that other lefty can throw strikes out there, Moran, because I like him a lot. He's got good stuff, but he also likes to be 3-2 on everybody. But him and Thielbar, who's an amazing story, and I one thing I like about the rotations, they're not a lefty, and there's not a lefty in sight either.
Yeah.
All of I said that the other day. The three guys in the wings are all right-handers too. So what's wrong with having a lefty? Come on.
Well, no matter what happens today, the four of us will overreact to it tomorrow here.
Hey, one last thing. Did you see Cleveland lost Tristan McKenzie perhaps for 2 months?
Yes. So
that's a kick in the groin because he was pretty good. So I think when these teams are built this thinly, as they are in the American League Central, it's kind of like the vibe you get when the season – it's the season develops a theme. And none of them are invincible. You know, when the Yankees start off bad, okay, they're going to do something to figure it out, right? They're going to go get somebody. In the AL Central, you're pretty much what you got. So if the vibe – right now, the vibe isn't great as far as the Twins' health is concerned, that's for sure.
Yep. So, all right, Pat, gentlemen. We'll do it again tomorrow, Pat. See you.
All right, gentlemen.
All right, there he is. Unchained, as always. Royce Unchained. You can find everything he does on the Royce Unchained podcast feed. See you guys.